It's never just about the ex. It's recycled pain. You started this journey with your heart shattered, and hopefully now you realize you were never broken. You were just bruised. Through each episode, we've gone through a different stage of healing: shock, denial, depression, anger, bargaining, and accountability. You've now learned that no matter what your relationship or breakup situation was, there were lessons for you to learn about yourself, unhelpful habits to break, and tools to now pattern interrupt. Today, we are focusing on building your future, your 2.0 version of you. Welcome back to the Breakup Bootcamp Podcast, a Cake Media original production. I'm your host, Amy Chan, author and founder of Renew Breakup Bootcamp. In today's episode, you're going to determine if you're ready to start dating again. You'll learn about the science of attraction and what research reveals about what to look for in a partner. You'll also walk away with a new framework for dating and create the healthy relationship that you desire. You might still feel some remnant emotions about your ex. Heck, you might even miss them. There is nothing wrong with this. It doesn't mean that you haven't healed enough, and a part of you can still feel the grief of the relationship that ended, and another part of you can feel excitement about the future you're going to create. Which brings me to the question, when are you ready to start dating again? To find out, ask yourself this question. If you were to get on a dating app and you were to see your ex on there, would you completely spiral and fall apart? If the answer is yes, then you might want to give yourself some more time. But if you were to see your ex on there and feel a bit triggered, and maybe your ego would feel a bit hurt, but you wouldn't be destroyed, then yes, it's time to give it a try. Then the next step is you put yourself out there. Because if you wait for yourself to feel 100% healed or 100% ready, that day will never come. Look, I get it. The idea of dating again might make you want to cringe, because if you've been hurt before or you've been burned in love, you may have an association that love equals pain. So naturally, you would rather wear your pajamas and stay at home on the weekend and watch Netflix than go out and meet someone. You need to fight that urge to close your heart. And maybe if it's helpful, maybe you don't call it dating. Reframe it as, I'm going to go and meet new people and learn how to be relational again. Now, it's important to remember, when you go on these first few dates, your goal is not to meet your next partner. Your goal is to practice your skill of creating connection, being curious, because those muscles might have atrophied while you were partnered. Don't think that your first few dates is going to deliver your next relationship. That's like thinking you can bench press double your weight when you haven't gone to the gym for years. This beginning stage of putting yourself back out there is to practice these skills. Now, you might already be on the apps and you're dating a lot and maybe you're feeling exhausted. I'm going to introduce a new way of looking at dating that will make the process a little more manageable and hopefully a lot more fun. I've developed a framework called the dating funnel. I created it because I've had a lot of clients who felt burnt out from dating, so they would swear off dating altogether. And they would say, you know what, I'm just not going to date, I am just going to leave it up to the universe. Now, note that whenever we swing from one extreme to another, that's a signal that it's a maladaptive coping mechanism. The dating funnel is similar to a marketing or sales funnel. Think of it like an upside-down triangle. There are 5 stages in this funnel, and your job is to determine where you get stuck so you can apply a specific strategy to help you convert in that particular stage. So top of funnel is lead generation. This is where you figure out how you're going to meet people. Is it online dating? Is it setups? Is it going to meetup groups? The next stage is discovery. This is dates 1 to 2. And the only questions you want to ask yourself on the first date is, am I having fun? Do I want to see them again? You might not feel a spark. You might not feel an intense sexual chemistry. But this doesn't mean you dismiss this person, because sometimes the mind takes time to process what type of connection it is. And so if you want to see the person again because you had a good time or you had great conversation, it means that there's been a release of dopamine, which motivates you to get more of what feels good. Now, a message from our partner. Self-care is key during the holiday season. And while you're showering others with gifts, don't forget to treat yourself too. And what better way to do that than upgrading your sleep experience with the luxurious, soft sheets from our friends at Boll & Branch? I got the signature hemmed sheets, and I find them great for keeping me cool at night. They also get softer every time you wash them. And let's not forget, Boll & Branch uses 100% organic cotton, so you can rest easy knowing your skin isn't being exposed to harmful chemicals. Their signature sheets come wrapped and ready in a beautiful holiday gift box. It's the perfect gift for someone you love because you're going to improve their sleep, and that's priceless. So upgrade your sleep with 25% off your first order at Boll & Branch. That's their best offer of the entire year. Just head to bollandbranch.com and use promo code BREAKUP. That's Boll & Branch. bollandbranch.com. Promo code BREAKUP. Limited time only. Some exclusions apply. See site for details. And now back to our show. There's something called the mirror exposure effect. This is a psychological phenomenon where our base feelings towards someone can be amplified the more we are exposed to them. So if you enjoyed your conversation and you had fun, the more you see this person, the more likely it is that your initial positive feelings will be amplified, and this can turn into attraction. Now, it's important to note that if your base feeling is disgust, you typically don't bounce back from disgust. So that's probably a no. But if you really are concerned of like, do I go? Do I not go again? At the end of the date, you can do a check-in and rate how connected you felt from a scale of 0 to 10. 10 being, I want to rip their clothes off. 0 being, absolutely not, I'm grossed out. And if it's a 5 or above, go again. Look, I'm not promoting hookup culture, but what happens is there's a lot of pressure on the first date. And when you go in with interview energy, it's a buzzkill. Now let's get to stage 3. This is the evaluation stage, and this comprises of dates 3 to 10 or maybe even 20, depending on how intense and long your dates are. This is when you truly get to know someone through time and experiences. You go on your first trip, you have your first fight. You see if they have integrity, if they follow through, if there is an alignment of values. If you're someone who veers more anxiously attached, or you put a lot of priority on chemistry, in the past you might have skipped this stage altogether because you probably didn't even know it existed. I've been there too. Do you know how many times I met my soulmate? 22 times. And each time, within one date or maybe two, I swore I had met the one. It was kismet. It was fate. It was something unexplainable. Actually, it was projection and fantasy. It was me wanting a relationship so badly, or wanting someone to choose me so desperately, that I didn't evaluate if they were a viable partner. I just wanted to be chosen. It's almost impossible to know if someone is your person in just a few dates. There just isn't enough data for you to make up your mind about someone. If this resonates, I want you to repeat after me. I am the one doing the choosing. I am not just waiting for someone to choose me. The evaluation stage is when someone's character is revealed. They show you who they are through their words, their actions, and also their lack of actions. Now, say you're both aligned. The next stage is the close. This is when you escalate the level of commitment. What that looks like to you will depend on your situation. It might mean being monogamous, or making it official with a label, or meeting the parents. There is a deepening of the commitment and investment both people make. I've observed in my clients that the healthy relationships have four pillars. The first is chemistry. There's some form of connection. You like being around each other. The second is compatibility. And I'm referring to an alignment of values. I'm not talking about dating someone who is the same as you, or if you both share a love for golf, because the research shows that doesn't actually matter. The third is timing. The perfect person at the wrong time is the wrong person. And the last pillar, and maybe the most important, is mutuality. Two people, both mutually invested in building. Because you yourself cannot be the glue that holds it all together. And if you have all these four pillars, this is a very solid foundation to build on. And you move to the next stage, which is retention, maintaining and nurturing the relationship. But that's an entire other book and podcast altogether. Now, a message from our partner. So I'm totally obsessed with my latest find, Olive and June nail polish. My nails used to be destroyed from my gel manis, and so I switched to Olive and June. I use their nail strengthener and their non-toxic vegan polishes, and my nails are now stronger than ever. They have polish that lasts for over a week, doesn't chip, and they have this great mani system, which basically helps you achieve salon quality nails right in the comfort of your own home. You get to pick out 6 polish colors that suit your style. Plus, the kit includes their award-winning cuticle serum and an acetone-free polish remover pot. I basically get a salon-looking manicure at home, and it comes out to just about $2 a mani. Visit oliveandjune.com/breakup. For 20% off your first Olive and June system. That's OliveandJune.com/breakup for 20% off your first Olive and June system. And now back to our show. Now that you know the 5 stages of the dating funnel, think about which stage you have a challenge converting. Is it lead generation and getting enough dates? If so, maybe you need to do online dating or get a matchmaker. Or is it discovery or moving from dates 2 to 3? Once you can pinpoint which stage you have a challenge in, you can then start looking at different solutions and strategies to start changing that. With a lot of my clients, a major issue is the evaluation stage and converting from evaluation to commitment. And if you've ever dated someone who was manipulative or abusive, you know how hard it is to get out of these toxic cycles. So I'm going to let you in on some research that will help you choose better. This doesn't mean you won't be attracted to the bad boy or the bad girl, but you can choose to not invest in developing that attachment. This information might save you years and a ton of therapy. Too often, singles are optimizing for the wrong thing, and they're putting way too much weight on traits and qualities that actually don't make a difference to happiness in the long term. There's something called present bias. In dating, it refers to our tendency to focus on qualities that matter in the short term. looks, money, height. People compete for mates with these shiny qualities, but these traits actually don't increase your chance of happiness because they don't matter in the long term. Why? Because we adapt to these superficial things. So maybe in the past, you were head over heels for someone because they were so hot, 10 out of 10 attractive. They were so good looking and that was the main draw. But because humans adapt, eventually that heartthrob effect wears off. In year 2 or 3, or maybe after children, you no longer get that spike of excitement because they're so hot. You just see them as a regular person. Their physical traits are not enough to be the glue for a long-term relationship. Research shows that in long-term partnerships, what matters is empathy, shared values, a strong foundation of friendship, shared purpose, and the ability to move through ups and downs together. So, what qualities should you look for in a partner? There is research conducted by social psychologist Samantha Joel and 85 scientists who built a data set of over 11,000 couples, and they wanted to figure this out. And what they found was there are 4 qualities that make a good mate. Number 1, satisfaction with life. You want to find someone who's already satisfied with life because they tend to make better long-term relationship partners. 2, secure attachment style. You want to find someone who has the ability to form secure, loving relationships. They're not afraid of intimacy, and they're also not codependent. 3, conscientiousness. This is one of the big 5 personality traits. Someone who's conscientious has high levels of self-discipline, they're reliable, and they have self-control. And 4, growth mindset. You want to find someone who has an underlying belief that they have the capacity to grow and improve. They believe a good relationship comes from effort and working through differences. Because look, getting into a relationship is one thing. Learning how to date requires one set of skills. But to maintain a relationship, that requires an entire different set of skills. This is because there are 2 stages in a relationship that are marked by very different chemicals. And a lot of people don't know this, which is why many relationships end after the 1 or 2 year mark. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. So, true story, I've been going through some challenges with family and grief, and I've been battling with resentment. I've just been consumed with thoughts, and at night I would spiral. And I knew that if I didn't do anything about it, it was just going to get worse. So I decided to book a therapy session. I wanted to get some new tools, another perspective, and some support. I liked the flexibility of BetterHelp. I had a session via phone that really helped me reframe. And I love that it's entirely online and flexible. You can book a session that's convenient to your schedule. You can communicate the way that you want, whether that's by text, chat, video, or phone. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/breakup today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/breakup. Now, back to our show. According to psychiatrist Dr. Daniel Z. Lieberman, who has published over 50 peer-reviewed articles, the first stage of love is called the passionate stage. This is when there's a surge of dopamine in your brain. Dopamine is a chemical that drives us to want more, to pursue future rewards. During the stage, we experience that exhilarating, all-consuming lust, aka butterflies in our stomach. Also, the part of the brain responsible for detecting threats, the amygdala, starts to minimize its activity when it comes to your partner, which is why people often say that love is blind or that we see our partners through rose-colored glasses during the early stages of a relationship. This stage can last anywhere from 12 to 18 months. After that, there is a natural progression in the relationship and you enter stage two, the companionate stage of love. The brain chemicals transition from future-oriented dopamine to present-oriented chemicals like oxytocin and serotonin. These chemicals help you enjoy the present and be grateful for what you have. This is why they're often referred to as the here and now chemicals. What's interesting is that the here and now chemicals actually suppress dopamine. When you transition into the companionate stage of love, you might not feel the urge to rip your partner's clothes off the minute you see them. The rose-tinted colored glasses come off, so those cute little quirks that you found endearing in the beginning stage might start to annoy you. This evolution is completely natural and normal, but if you don't know this, you'll be like, I don't feel butterflies in my stomach anymore. I love you, but I'm not in love with you. And you might break up with someone who's a great partner. You might swing from branch to branch, always thinking that the grass is greener with someone else. But you'll eventually encounter the same transition with the next person and the next. The thing is, in the second stage, Mother Nature is not going to do the work for you anymore. At 12 to 18 months, it's now your turn to do the work, to learn the skills, to cultivate intimacy, to cultivate passion, to create novelty in the relationship so that you can continue to have passion. You can't be lazy about it. And the reality is, not everyone is up for learning these skills. And not everyone has the capacity to be in a long-term relationship. Hopefully, your breakup has taught you that someone's intention is not enough to carry a relationship. And so when you're dating, if someone has the intention of being in a relationship and they say all the right things, you have to observe and determine, do they have the capacity? Do they have the ability? And if not, are they willing to learn? Because if they don't, and they're not willing to up-level their skills, they're just going to rely on dopamine and lust chemicals, and they're going to get really disappointed. And you have to also be honest with yourself. Are you willing to do the work to cultivate these skills? We are in the acceptance stage. And part of that means recognizing the areas you need to work on in order to create the future love that you want. I want to remind you, your relationship ended, but it wasn't a failure. It's only a failure if you didn't try and you didn't learn. Sometimes we need to go through relationships to realize what we don't want so we can make space for what we do want. I know it's been hard, and I know you've gone through a lot of pain, and sometimes it feels impossible to see how the shakeup is helping you grow. There is this saying about heartache that is completely untrue, that time heals all wounds. Time can help minimize the emotional intensity, but the underlying wounds, those heal by shining light on them, reflecting, learning, changing your habits, making different choices, taking accountability for your parts. It's what you have been doing, listening to this podcast and applying the tools. Now, a message from our partner. There is nothing worse than being on a date or being at work and feeling self-conscious about your body odor. I've been loving Lumi. It's a whole body deodorant that's safe to use anywhere on your body, and I mean anywhere, your private parts, belly button, even your feet. And here's what's different. Lumi doesn't just mask odors with fragrances. It's specially formulated with mandelic acid to prevent odor before it even begins. It's more like a pre-odorant. What I love about it is that I can trust I'm not putting anything bad or toxic in my body. It's free from aluminum, baking soda, and parabens, and it's pH balanced. Plus, it's clinically proven to block odors for up to 72 hours. Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code BREAKUP at lumideodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit lumideodorant.com and use code BREAKUP. And now, back to our show. I started this podcast sharing with you my story of my breakup and how, at the time, I thought it was the worst thing that had ever happened to me. I now recognize it was actually one of the best things that had ever happened to me. Not because of time or magic. It's because I eventually chose to use that pain as a catalyst to grow, to create, to help others. It is why I am here today. That one door closed and another one opened. And this is the last part of the healing process that will help you truly get to a place of peace and acceptance. Use your lessons, the pain, the emotional charge, and use it for good. Help someone. That might mean you just hold space for someone going through a hard time without judgment, just pure presence. Maybe it's sharing your story, so another person going through heartbreak will feel a little less alone. Whatever it is, when you can transmute your pain into love, there is something beyond science that happens. Call it spiritual, call it universal, call it destiny. But you connect to something so much bigger than yourself when you start to help others. I am now very good friends with my ex and also his wife. We actually have double dates. Who would have thought? We didn't fit as romantic partners, but a lot of distance and many years, and we now fit as dear friends who care about each other, want the best for each other, and love each other. And no, not all of my exes deserve a spot in my future. But I believe that all of our significant relationships and connections, they are a part of you. They made an impact. Even the ones you look back at and cringe and can't stand, they all have taught you something. Most of your relationships were never meant to be your destination. They were meant to be a bridge. It's your job to extract the lesson, so you don't have to keep walking on the same bridge over and over again. And ultimately, you realize that the destination was never about another person. It's always been about you, about being conscious, about getting to a place where internally you are at peace and acceptance regardless of your relationship status. If you know love, you will know loss. All that we cherish exists on borrowed time, making heartbreak inevitable. And you might question if the darkness will ever end. But here's the secret. The pain doesn't disappear. It transforms. It alchemizes into the very medicine your soul needs. Sometimes that's humility. Others, resilience, and often, expansion. You see, at its core, grief is simply love. It's an energy that expands the capacity of your heart, pushing the edges beyond what you thought possible. Don't ever be ashamed of your heartbreak. The depth of your pain is a testament to the depth of your love. The scars evidence of the courage and risk you took to give and share love. Heartbreak is a rite of passage. Support for today's episode comes from Jenny Kane. I've been loving this California brand, and they're especially known for their high-quality, luxurious cashmere. I finally got my hands on the Cashmere Cocoon, which is their bestseller, and also just got the Flynn Cashmere Sweater. Look, investing in high-quality staples is worth it. You can wear it year over year, and trust me, there's a big difference between where you get your cashmere from, and Jenny Kane is one of the best. I also love their shoes and just got a pair of the Shearling Mules. They're so cozy and classy, and it's so easy to wear with a pair of jeans and my new cashmere sweater. Their pieces make great classics. You can mix and match and you'll know you are looking stylish. Especially if you're dealing with a heartbreak, it is easy to want to stay in your PJs all day. Do yourself a favor. Grab some new pieces from Jenny Kane, and when you love the outfit you're in, it will boost your mood and your confidence. Find your forever pieces at jennykane.com. Our listeners get 15% off your first order when you use code BREAKUP at checkout. That's 15% off your first order, jennykane.com, promo code BREAKUP. Thank you for your courage to look inward and for trusting me to be a part of your process. If this podcast has been helpful, I'd be so grateful if you could write a review and maybe share it with a friend. Now, let's get to our caller. All right, everyone. And so for today's guest, we have Shannon McNamara, the host of the hit entertainment podcast, Fluently Forward. And she is in the acceptance stage of her breakup. So Shannon, let me know what's going on.
I'm happy to be here. I want you to know too, that when I did have my last big breakup, listening to you on different podcasts, like explaining everything, there were so many podcasters I listened to who had advice. They're like, oh my God, just like eat ice cream and like do, you know, go out to brunch with your girlfriends. And I was like, they don't understand it. Like I'm not eating, like I'm in peril. And then I found everything that you were saying. And I was like, she gets it. Thank God for her. So I just want to say, first of all, like your content is so good. Like you get it in a way that so many people don't.
Thank you.
I had my last kind of big breakup about a year ago. And it was definitely one of those ones where everything was great for like a year. We thought we were going to get married. We were definitely in that spot. You know, we were both 29. So excited to like have everything figured out and just like have a future that I daydreamed about and thought was going to happen. And then all of a sudden, I don't know, something just kind of shifted in him. And it was obvious that the love was kind of starting to disappear. But of course, he didn't tell me that. I had to pick up on it in the fact that he was texting me less and we stopped going on dates. And, you know, he said that nothing was wrong, but it's obvious that something was. So I kind of compared the end of my relationship to, you know, like you turn into this paranoid conspiracy theorist Nancy Drew, and you're like trying to figure out what happened because he won't tell you anything, and then you're an anxious mess and you're, you know, putting on your best clothes and dancing and spinning trying to get it back, and it's just not happening. So, you know, we broke up obviously, but it was something that I had to initiate and kind of walk us through because it was just so painful having someone not try at the end. So it took a while for me to get over it. I think there were a few things to get over, right? Like the future that you lost, what won't be anymore. And then also just this idea of like, why wasn't I enough? Like, why did somebody stop loving me? How did somebody say that I didn't do something wrong, but they went from loving me to not loving me? So I must have done something wrong. Like, what did they not tell me? Just so many months of like trying to figure out those questions and not having an answer. But, you know, time goes on and it really does heal everything. And I do consider myself in the acceptance phase. Like somebody could say his name, it wouldn't register shock in me. I don't get anxiety diarrhea if I see a picture of him online anymore. But the main thing that I'm thinking about now is like, now that I've accepted that this is over and I don't feel anything about it, how do you ease the anxiety of like the next relationship? Because the next relationship you go into, there's this idea of like, okay, well, what if it's the same thing where everything's great for a year and I don't do anything wrong, but all of a sudden the love just disappears on their side and like, I can't, like it just could happen and it's terrifying.
Yeah, there's this association that love could be great in the beginning and then without you doing anything differently, it just disappears, just like the feeling of the day. And I think that's a very valid fear because that's what happened. And it's normal for us to try to protect ourselves from repeating that same pain. And I think that, you know, the one thing that unfortunately there are totally never any guarantees in love. I see our relationships as there is an eventual expiry date, whether it's done amicably, whether it is through old age, and we're always taking a risk. And what can we do to de-risk it as much as we possibly can? And it sounds like, I don't know your ex, I'm sure he was a lovely human. I do believe that there is the approach of love as a feeling. And when you don't have the feeling, then you don't have the relationship. And I don't subscribe to that approach of love when you're looking for a long-term partnership. And I think that is something to discover if the person you're dating is really about the excitement and the feeling. And I've heard that before to myself. I love you. I'm just not in love with you. And a more mature way of looking at love, if it is a committed partnership that you want, is that love is an action and a choice you choose every day. And it is choosing investing in the partnership, even when it's uncomfortable, even when they're annoying you, because you are committed to something bigger than just your feelings of the day. And not everyone is going to be able to have the capacity or the willingness to do it. But I do believe there are people who are also wanting that. Do you subscribe to that approach or what are your thoughts?
Oh, I do. And you can see it in the way that like every relationship I've ever had, like I'm there until the bitter end. And I feel like a lot of girls are this way too. Like when you can tell that something's wrong in the relationship, you like, maybe you pull away for a week. And then the second week, you're like really affectionate. And then the third week, you like give blowjobs every day. And then the fourth week, you like try a new technique that you learned online. And then like, I don't know, next month you go to a fortune teller. I feel like so many times me and my friends are like, we will try like 9 different ways to get this to work. But the thing is, if you're with someone who has given up on it, there's just no hope, right? So I am hopeful that there's people out there who also like this idea of, okay, if we're going through a rough patch or we need to change something, let's like brainstorm and try and find new ways to make it work rather than just saying, oh, we're calling it, like it's not there anymore.
Yeah. And then just getting the memo that, hey, I'm not feeling it and it's over, whether it's communicated or you have to pick up the clues, like that is also a communication thing. People aren't perfect. I do think that with this in mind, someone who values loyalty and commitment, you want to look for someone who before you, they've been living by these values their whole life. It's just a part of their character. And, you know, it's again, it's not for everyone. There's some people who don't really care. Like, hey, you know, like tomorrow's another day. If loyalty isn't the top value, it's fine, but generosity has to. So it sounds like for you, you are very clear, and this experience almost helped you understand that loyalty and commitment are two top values for you. And so as you explore and you discover someone through the evaluation stage of dating, you want to see, do they share that value? Not because you're telling them to, not because they're trying to court you, but they already have it. And I think that would be a really great foundation to start. And would you say with your ex, if you were to turn back time, would you say that loyalty and commitment would have been his top value?
It's funny. He seemed very committed. You know, he had been in long-term relationships before. He was like huge on like talking about like the values that he had and how he wants to have like a family and marriage one day. But I think his mode of thinking, if I go back in time, he was very much an overthinker and a little bit indecisive and would sometimes flip-flop in between things. And it kind of did give across the vibe, even though he was saying, right, like, I want a family. I'm like, all these things are important to me. The actions were like, oh, wait, this is someone who makes a decision, but then doubts the decision and then tries to do something else. So I feel like that's also a way that you can judge it, is based in like how someone thinks and how they decide in situations that don't have to do with you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And it's like torment when you are so stuck in your head about things. And unfortunately, like when I work with men and women, I find that men go straight to analyze everything, pros and cons, rationalize everything. And I think that that can actually cause a lot of anxiety. Yeah. To make the perfect decision. And,
yes,
you know, I really feel like I love my partner. I'm committed to it. And I really look at it as there is this, what I call a shit bucket. And in that shit bucket, it's like, there's always going to be 20% of shit. It's going to be the stuff that annoys me, you know, that we have different love languages, but I accept that 20%. And I could go, you know, grass is greener, go find someone else. It'll be another shit bucket and it'll be a different type of what makes that 20%. But it's just a different shit bucket. And I don't think I would have known that if I hadn't gone through so many relationships, tumultuous dating, to finally get to a places of you choose a partner and you choose love and you choose to be loving every single day as much as you can. That is more of a mature approach that has been learned through wisdom. And it sounds like you have that. And I'm sure you are going to find someone who also has a mature approach like you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I love that too. And don't you like love that idea too of like being with someone and like, oh, I love them, but damn, the way they chew their fingernails or something. It's almost exciting and romantic, I think. And also it makes you more relatable, because then when you go out with your girlfriends and everybody's complaining, you have to have something to complain about too. So I love that idea of like the 20%. I think anyone who looks for 100% is just like, I don't know, a little bit delusional. It's not out there, not for anyone.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that maybe when we're younger minded, we think, oh no, we're going to get 100. And there's a point also where the beginning stage of love, which is really charged by dopamine, and that causes you to be motivated to get more, that dissipates. It's a 6 months to 18 months, and it moves to companionate stage of love, which are different chemicals like oxytocin and vasopressin. And I think a lot of people also don't know that there is an evolution in the chemicals. So when it changes, they're like, oh, I'm not feeling that I want to jump you and take off your clothes right away type of vibe. And like, oh, I must not be in love with you, when it's just actually the love is evolving to companionate love. And so, yeah, I think there's people who are so stuck with that, I want to feel all of it, that dopamine. And if it's not, then there's something wrong. But they will be, unfortunately, disappointed time and time again if they want to be in a long-term partnership, because it changes. I hope this was helpful.
It was. I'm curious too, like, what questions do you ask? Like, let's say you want to vet someone for having that loyalty and that commitment values that are important to them. Do you, you know, like ask how long they've been at their job for during a date? Do you like ask if they've been in long relationships? Like, what are ways to kind of try and find those values?
Yeah, I don't think that there is like, you know, if they switch jobs, it means that they're likely to switch their relationship. There is research that shows that people who are adrenaline junkies, probably the worst type of person for you. They are more likely to cheat. They're more likely to seek experiences that create a lot of stimulating excitement. And they really are driven by dopamine. So that's kind of like the opposite of what you want. And again, there's some people who are like, I want that exciting, adventurous, and I don't care. That's what I want. Amazing for that person, but not for people like you and I. We like,
yeah, I like the accountants, the chess
we like
players.
The stability. So yeah. Like, let's get rid of the adrenaline junkies for you. And I think, you know, you can also, there's what you ask and then there's what you see in how they act, right? So you can ask like, what do you do? Like, what do you think of like, in 5 years or in 10 years with someone. You're not even saying it with you, but like, what happens when the sexual chemistry isn't there? Like, what are your thoughts on what a couple can do? And if you can kind of see if they're like, well, we can take a tantra class, we can work on it. You can see if they have a, let's work on it. We are partners, teamwork versus I don't want to feel this.
And you know what? That's so important too, because something that I've asked guys is, you know, like when I get pregnant and my body changes, will you still find me attractive? And I feel like guys will usually go, oh yeah, like, of course, babe, like, of course I would. But that doesn't settle your nerves in the same way as him going, like you said, of course I will. But if I don't, like, we could try this, we could try this, we could try that. I love the idea of like open to solutions, open to brainstorming, rather than like not even in trying to engage in that hypothetical situation and how you would work through it.
Yeah, it's an approach. And that approach is probably one that they use in other parts of their life. They already have that approach. That's how they do life. So you want to look for someone who already has this approach, these values, way before you met them. And so you're just kind of calibrating to each other versus you come in and then they have to be this person in order for you to feel safe in the relationship.
Yeah. You are so wise, Amy. I swear to you, every time you talk, I'm just like, yep, that makes sense. I'm like, there's the answer right there.
Thank you so much. Well, I hope this was helpful. Thank you so much for being a guest on the show. And everyone, this is the last episode of our limited series with Cake Media. Thank you so much for listening. And please, please write a review if this has been helpful for you. And until next time, take care of your heart. Please note, the content shared in this podcast is intended for informational and entertainment purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be, a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Now, a message from our partner. Have you ever thought about the importance of self-care during tough times, like after a breakup? A crucial aspect of self-care is nurturing our bodies, and that starts with a healthy gut. That's why I love Sakara's signature nutrition program. Its flexibility is perfect for adapting to your hectic schedule, especially when you're going through emotional healing. On those nights when you're just not up to cooking, let Sakara bring a nourishing dinner to your doorstep with 2 to 5 meals delivered each week. Treat yourself to Sakara's delicious, convenient options and let them be a part of your healing journey. Sakara delivers science-backed, plant-rich nutrition programs and wellness essentials right to your door. Their organic, ready-to-eat meals are nutritionally designed to help you optimize your well-being with results you can see and feel, from digestive wellness and eased bloat to enhanced metabolic health, energy, and safe weight management. And right now, our listeners get 20% off their first order when they go to sakara.com/breakup or enter code breakup at checkout. That's Sakara, sakara.com/breakup for 20% off your first order. sakara.com/breakup. This episode is brought to you by PROS. Most of you have probably heard me sing the praises of PROS and their truly custom made-to-order hair care. Switching to a custom routine from PROS was one of the best things I've done for my hair, and the results I'm seeing just keep getting better. One of my favorite products is a custom pre-shampoo scalp mask. My scalp gets pretty dry, especially in the winter, and this product helps restore balance to the scalp. Plus, after using their custom shampoo and conditioner, I've seen noticeable changes in my hair texture, all thanks to their one-of-a-kind, made-to-order formulas. My hair isn't just softer, it's also shinier, smoother, and it feels stronger. PROS is committed to clean beauty, which is something I really respect. They're a carbon neutral certified B Corp. Everything is sustainably sourced, cruelty free, and they're leading the charge as the first custom beauty brand to go carbon neutral. Also, if you try PROS and it doesn't feel like the best hair care you've ever had, they'll take it back, no questions asked. Custom made to order hair care from pros has your name all over it. Take your free in-depth hair consultation and get 15% off your first order today. Go to pros.com/breakup. That's PROSE.com/breakup for your free in-depth hair consultation and 15% off.